Today on the Cameron Journal podcast, I am joined by an interesting new voice, S.A. Sterling. She is the author of the Dame Sarah story, The Extraordinary Journey of Triumph. And we're going to learn about her book and her writing process and all this type of thing and go from there. So welcome to the Cameron Journal podcast.
Thank you, Cameron. Thank you. And good
all
evening,
right.
everyone. And thank you for having me.
Yes, we're very excited. So all the way from Italy, which is really exciting. Although I'm sure it made for some fun time scheduling adventures. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Right On, the Dame Sarah story book and about yourself? Let's start dive right in.
Okay, thank you, Cameron. Well, my name is Alessandra. I go by the pen name S.A. Sterling. A is my first name, Alessandra. I live in Italy, beautiful Italy, and with my husband. My two children are back in the States, unfortunately, so I miss them. But I am... I've recently embarked on a new journey as an author, and I am thrilled to be here this evening to explain a bit about this work of love that I put together, Right On, Dame Sarah Story's Extraordinary Journey of Triumph. I would like to tell you a little bit about how I got into writing, because that explains why I chose Dame Sarah's story. My journey into writing began with a deep fascination for stories that inspire and challenge us. I've always kind of been drawn to narratives of personal triumph and resilience, and that passion led me to the decision of becoming an author. Writing for me is a way of exploring the potential within us all, first of all within myself. The lives of remarkable women in particular have always been a source of inspiration for me. I can give you some examples, like Malala Yousafzai, who a wonderful woman who, despite facing life-threatening adversity, has stood up for the right to education and has become the youngest woman to receive the Nobel Prize. Or figures like Serena Williams, who not only has revolutionized women's tennis with her exceptional set of skills and strength, but had also broken barriers and fought for equality in sports. Or Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, a beautiful figure. Throughout her legal career, she has fought relentlessly against gender discrimination, kind of paving the way for women's rights a little bit all over the world, in particularly in the United States. So these women and many others who have pushed boundaries and achieved excellence in the face of challenges are the stories that I aim to write as an author, hoping to inspire others, other women, but also other people to face their own challenges in a better way by being empowered by these stories.
So why don't you tell us about Dame Sarah's story then? Because she obviously was inspired a whole book. So she must have had quite an impact on you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about her and her story?
Yes, Cameron. Indeed, I fell in love with Sarah as a woman, as an athlete, and as an activist. Why? Because of the multifaceted nature of her achievements and her character. I was inspired, first of all, to write about Dame Sarah's story after learning about her exceptional achievements as a Paralympic athlete. Because her story is not only about sport, it's about defying limits and redefining what's possible. What struck me most about Dame Sarah's story is her unwavering determination and her way of turning challenges into stepping stones for greatness. So, and she's done that throughout her life. It's that inner resilience that propels her beyond perceived limitations. Dame Sarah's story, speaking of her as an athlete, began her rise into the athletic world at the tender age of 14 years old. Yes, and that already speaks volume to her early dedication and talent, but she had to face some challenges. Navigating the complexities of adolescence while competing at such a high level led to some personal struggles. Sarah was bullied at school, a common phenomenon among athletes, young athletes who stand out. And that led to her developing disordered eating, another challenge that many face, but few talk about in the world of sports. Moreover, a few years into her flourishing career, Sarah had to face yet another hurdle, chronic fatigue syndrome. This was a hard challenge for Sarah. Because she had to recalibrate her approach to training and competition, emphasizing the importance of well-being and balance, because that's what you know, she had lost a bit along the way. But despite these challenges, Sarah's transition from swimming, where she had earned numerous medals, to cycling was nothing short of extraordinary. And she did that with the right mindset, which basically speaks to her strength of character, and her relentless pursuit of excellence. So in cycling, she found a new platform to showcase her abilities, and that's where she really excelled, becoming one of the most decorated British female Paralympians of all times. Sarah's journey speaks of adaptability, always challenging herself and never settling for what she has already achieved. That's her kind of mantra and motto that Sarah uses, has used and is using nowadays throughout her life. Sarah is not only an athlete, though. And what captivates me really is her role as a spokesperson for equality in sports. She used her platform and her success as an athlete to try to make the world a better place for women athletes, because they are underrepresented. And also she wants to make sure that every woman, regardless of her background or challenges, has the opportunity to pursue her dreams and to thrive. Not only is she an activist for equality in sports, she works in civil service as the travel commissioner for Greater Manchester in England, where she lives. And there she's trying to make a difference as well. And I honestly don't know how she juggles all this, but she wants to promote a safer, more accessible, and more sustainable travel options. And that's not only for a general well-being of moving more and getting out, and but she wants to make the city, her city, more livable, and also reduce the environmental impact. And so this wanting to make not only a difference in sport, but also to make societal changes, it's what I think really sets her apart. Yes.
Yeah. Well, extraordinary woman, clearly. And she's done so much with herself and continues to do so and all this type of thing. Which is just fantastic. I don't know how you feel about this, but every time I have conversations about one of these people, and I've had several over the last 3 years I've done this version of the podcast, is I don't know. I always kind of struggle with how the everyday ordinary person can kind of hope to emulate the qualities from these people who are clearly extraordinary, you know. Because you know, we throw these, you know, words around like pursuit of excellence and all this type of thing, and it's kind of like most people are gonna do what they're gonna do. It kind of is what it is. How do these women like inspire you to do more in your life? Like, what did you kind of take from this, and how did you apply it to your everyday life, and how have you done more greater things because of having written this book?
Yes, Cameron, you're right. It seems like you pointed that out earlier, you know, it seems like also impossible to believe that each one of us can actually be or try or even try to emulate Sarah. But Sarah is also a very simple person. As far I've done extensive research, which has been enlightening, but also you know, hard to find out a lot of. Of course, to write a book about Sarah was not an easy feat, but. Sarah is a very simple person. She's also a mom and a wife. And that's another aspect that I forgot to mention earlier, because she can juggle also motherhood with being an elite athlete. She has a lot of support. Sarah has a lot of support from her husband. They are, you know, the teamwork. They are the exemplification, I think, of teamwork and mutual respect. Okay, so he not only helps with the two children, they have two children, but also helps Sarah with the training and the preparation for her next competition.
To answer
your question, how did Sarah help me? Her story helped me. Okay, 2 years ago, I didn't even think I would become an author. I was content with my language business, and then of course something terrible happened to me. I lost my mom. I lost my mom to a grueling 6-year battle with cancer. During those 6 years, I was constantly by her side, and so were my three sisters. The pain of losing her was immense. I was really we all sisters were really attached to her, four daughters, four sisters. But that that pain somehow turned into a newfound bond with my sisters, first of all, and then it gave me the inspiration to move on and find something energetic to do to try to counteract the pain that I was feeling. Because ultimately, Sarah's message is that not only, you know, living your life is not only enduring, is trying to find some understanding of our experiences. In my case, it was the loss of my mom and all the implications that that concerned. For everybody has their own demons, their own struggles, their own things they have to deal with daily. And yes, the first impulse would be like, I'll never be like her. I cannot be like her. No way. But the way I dove into her story, the way I try to really understand how she could do, she can do all this, and yet she does it, and with a astonishing simplicity, and she constantly says that you know, you have to work hard, perseverance, you know, perseverance and hard work. Every day, not only in the as an athlete, as an elite athlete, but also in the daily to daily things with her kids, with her husband, with her activism, and yeah, I guess she's a you know, an optimist. That doesn't hurt, you know. She believes in the good of the people, and she wants to do better. And that's kind of like I am. So, yeah, we.
Oh, no, that's very good. That's very good. The other thing people won't know, but I want you to talk about it, is you've also created a new website called Women Rising Strong, Empowered Women, Empowered World. Tell us about that.
Yes, Cameron. Well, as another tool I used to learn more about powerful female figures, because my website is about the core message is that women are powerful, resilient, and capable of extraordinary things. So Dame Sarah Story, of course, is the first powerful female figure I wrote about, and I wrote a book about, but my website revolves around these themes of women's of celebrating and advocacy for women's strength, courage, and achievements. There are several stories on my website that are, to me, beautiful, because they show different aspects of how a woman can be resilient. For example, there's a beautiful story called Defying Age, Defying Limits. It was actually inspired by the movie Naiad, and it talks about the unyielding spirit of Naiad, the swimmer. And basically, it challenges the conventional notions that age is a limitation, and women, but not only women, of course, everybody, but women in particular, can achieve anything at any age, and that story is the proof of that. There is also a beautiful story about two very different but equally beautiful women, Claudia Goldin and Narges Mohammadi. Claudia Goldin, for example, both two Nobel Prize winners. Claudia Goldin for economics, and Narges Mohammadi for her fight for human rights in an oppressive regime as Iran. As a matter of fact, she's in prison at the moment, and she recently started a hunger strike. And I hope she's okay. Takes a lot of courage to do what she's doing. Or, for example, there is another story that I love, the profound friendship and interpersonal emotional interdependence, as you say, between Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova. I'm sure most of you, of course, you know these two tennis icons who they go beyond the tennis rivalry and become great friends, especially in the time of need. They both got sick and they were both friends, and they helped each other, and they continue to this day to support each other, showing that yes, strength and support systems are very important, especially when facing life's challenges. Sometimes the support systems are not there. I understand that. Both, I'm talking about sometimes family or friends, but I'm sure, you know, this solidarity can somewhat be found if sometimes we put aside a little bit of pride or a little bit of no, I don't want to talk to that person. No, I'm not going to ask for help, because we all need help. And if we don't ask for it, it will not be given to us.
Yeah, no, that is. Well, yeah, and you kind of mentioned these themes of, support and helping other people and getting help from people along the way, from, friends and family and spouses and children and all this type of thing. So, community is a theme we keep seeing over and over again, especially in this country where our traditional community structures have really fallen away. Church attendance has fallen off a cliff. People, we don't even have the spaces for it to occur anymore. And people blame it on different things, like, oh, car culture, we drive everywhere, and that's atomizing. And the solution to community is a walkable city, and everyone always likes to cite, ironically, Italy as an example of, how things should be more walkable and less car transportation and all this type of thing. And I'm like, well, most of the country was built before the car was even thought of, so there is a factor there. I think it's really that community aspect that is vital in helping people do extraordinary things. You can't do it alone, as such.
Absolutely, absolutely. But as far as I know, I had the luck of living in the United States for 9 years. I've in the community where I was living, I always found a very vibrant community. And yes, and
No, it's good.
but Cameron, also, if I may, our approach sometimes says a lot about getting the right the help we need. You know, like I said earlier, you don't have to be afraid to ask and actually to look for help. Somewhere help is there. For example, I remember when my kids were younger, the Boy Scouts, or for them, you know, but also for community, for so yes, when you have children, maybe it's easier to find ways to communicate and bond and build relationships. But also when you are an empty nester, like empty nesters like my husband and I are, we try to get involved, whether it's a volunteering thing or a small church thing or a conference. And yes, it's only by getting out of our comfort zones that we can, because sometimes I don't feel like talking to many people and stuff. Whereas my husband is he could talk for hours, but I try and I force myself instead of closing myself into my own computer room or my writing, because I actually get inspiration from people by listening to their stories and by sharing mine. And community building is made of that too, because I think what we lack in today's society, it is communication, real communication, words. Even sometimes you argue, but you speak, you say, you speak your mind, and you can and you can have a in the end, you come out with something, okay? Whether you may not agree, you may agree, but you come home with something, and that makes you think and makes you reflect, and hey, if you're lucky, you may make a new friends, and that is also very important nowadays, you know.
No. Yeah. Speaking of new friends, where did you come across Dame Sarah Story? How did you find her? Because I had not heard of her till your book. Where did you find this remarkable woman?
I accidentally stumbled on her online. She was actually in the list, in a list that I found 2.5 years ago when I first thought about writing about somebody special, and it was on a list of like something like underrated sports personalities, and I was just reading through this list, and her little the synopsis related to her, to what I found immediately, I was struck by it, and that's how it all started. Yeah, and then I started reading and reading and reading, and I decided to write about her. It was not an easy feat, Cameron, also because, and very understandably, Sarah did not participate in this, although I tried to reach I tried to reach her through official channels. She did not respond, and like I said, that's completely understandable because of her, you know, constant. She's busy. She's a very busy woman, but hopefully, I will go see her soon and hand her a book, and maybe we can have a little chat.
Yeah, no, that'd be spectacular. Well, we've reached the point of the show where we do plugs, which is when you tell us where we can buy your book online and keep in touch with you.
Okay, thank you, Cameron. Yes, my book can be bought on Amazon. It's everywhere in all marketplaces. So, for the United States, is Amazon.com. And there is a Kindle version, there is a paperback version. And also, I just uploaded a very beautiful, I think, narration by a wonderful British narrator that narrated my book, and so people can find me can find my book on Amazon, or I hope they come to visit me at www.sasterling.com, because it is a platform worth visiting. If you love powerful stories of powerful women, and if you want to get inspired, and like we said before, it's hard in nowadays world, but creativity is is also this. And who knows, maybe by reading a story you will be inspired to do something more with your life, whatever that may be. Whatever small or big thing you want to do. So yeah, if you'd like to come visit my website, I would be very happy. And also, I answer all my emails. So if people want to contact me, they're more than welcome to write me an email, or all my social handles are there on my website as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on the Cameron Journal podcast.
Cameron, thank you so much.
That's all for this episode of the Cameron Journal podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Visit us online at CameronJournal.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I love to talk to my followers and listeners, so please feel free to get us on social media at Cameron Cowan on Twitter. And we'll see you next time on the Cameron Journal podcast.